Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Pianist Igor Levit with the Allegro Molto from the Sonata No. 31 in A-flat major by Beethoven. For the last 3 years, Igor Levit's name has been the first to be mentioned whenever there's been talk of the most exciting pianists of the younger generation. Levit received international acclaim since he appeared as the youngest artist ever at the Arthur Rubinstein International Piano Master Competition in 2005, where he won 4 awards. He was born in Russia and moved to Germany with his family at the age of 8. Studied in Hanover, where he achieved the highest grades in the Academy's history, and then came to the United States. And he's our guest today here on Crossover. Your album is absolutely wonderful, and I was so fascinated with the whole psychological approach. I mean, I was reading the liner notes, and of course, it's very, very profound. And I was just wondering how you felt when you decided to work on the late sonatas. What caused you to make that decision?
Well, what a big question!
It's a big question. Well, you have a lot of repertoire to choose from, so.
Well, you know. So-called history, I'm 27 years old, but let's say my history with Beethoven isn't necessarily connected exclusively to his piano music. So, of course, the first steps were not the late sonatas. So the first sonata I have seriously worked on was the wonderful sonata in A major, Opus 2, number 2. And with this piece, I would say I learned how to practice. I learned what it means to learn, to read text, to think about what a certain indication could mean, and, you know, to try out. There is, I think, nothing more important than simply to try out what is possible and what a certain result could be like. So I was working on that. And then after a concert I have heard, being very young, was I think 13, 14, when John Elliott Gardiner conducted the Missa Solemnis.
Right.
This piece became, for me, what I would say, the most holiest piece of music of them all.
No, it's quite stirring, very stirring.
And then I started literally working on the Missa Solemnis. And then, you know, of course, my regular studying went on, and so other composers and then other Beethoven sonatas, the Tempest Sonata, or, others, Opus 26, etc. So step by step by step by step. And then the big, for me, the great turning point, I would call it that way, regarding his piano music was the working time on the Diabelli Variations.
Yes, of course.
Which I think is...
How long did that take?
Incredible piano piece.
Oh, it is.
One of the most incredible piano pieces.
Overwhelming.
And then, you know, and so it came naturally that I began working on the late sonatas, and it took, there was a period of about 5 to 6 years, and then I got the chance to record them. I never had I always have known that the first record is going to be Beethoven, always. But it was not like I started learning the late sonatas with the plan to record them.
But it's kind of interesting.
Be a crime.
Yes, because wouldn't you aspire to that? Isn't that kind of part of the pinnacle that you're going to try to reach with Beethoven?
No, I don't. Well, I'm not as tactical as this would require to be. I mean, I just began working on them. And there's almost nothing more fulfilling for me than the simple work in progress, and especially with Beethoven, it is such a unique experience to work on his pieces.
That's why I'm asking you, because for people who are not really, you know, aficionados here, who are listening, who love music and who, of course, love Beethoven for different reasons, they may not technically, you know, understand. Why is this the crest of the mountain for you, kind of, in a way? That's that decision to do this and to interpret this in your own way.
Well, you know, because I can't give you a short answer on that, I can't give you a very satisfying answer on that. But then, you know, you work on a piece like the Hammerklavier Sonata, where every bar gives you so much information and so many possibilities and so much to discover. Every literally single bar, and then when you realize what this whole piece is about, mm-hmm. or could be about.
And for those who are not, again, who don't
the
really
emotional result after the performance, the emotional sort of aim you reach, what it makes with you, what you experienced, I think has there's nothing to compare, rather than Beethoven's music, or you listen to his symphonies, or you listen to his sonatas, or especially the Missa Solemnis. There is something which this music makes with you. There is something very honest about it, and something very, you know, I would call it honest about it, which is absolutely unique.
Hear now the final movement of the Sonata number 29 in B-flat major, opus 106 by Beethoven, performed by our guest today, Igor Levit. We've just heard the final movement, the Largo and Allegro Risoluto, from the Sonata number 29 in B-flat major, opus 106, by Beethoven, performed by our guest today, Igor Levit. It's intense, and I think, yes, of course, intense and very profound. But one thinks about Beethoven that way, I think, even not knowing about the music as much as him personally, what he went through in his own, you know, terrible, very difficult life. I mean, in terms of even losing his hearing because of his father, if this is the truth, you know, pounding him on his ears when he was, you know, not paying mind to what he had to say. So I mean, so there's a lot that Beethoven was going through in probably reviewing his own life and where at what plateau. So where are these, the late sonatas? How old was Beethoven at this point?
I mean, let's take it that way. Let's say it that way. Take a piece like the first movement, 111.
Okay.
Which has absolutely for sure something in it which I would call simply pure aggression.
Okay.
Or the first movement 106, or the last movement 106, or you know, it has aggressive moments. Now, if he shows me an aggressive direction, if he even indicates in the Hammerklavier Sonata a purely, hysterically fast tempo.
Mm-hmm.
This hysteria is something I absolutely, you know, I would fight with everything against people who just ignore it or who say, you know, it's an insane tempo or it's just crazy or he couldn't hear anything or it doesn't sound beautiful. No, this is what he gave us. This is the direction.
So this, I'm trying to, for the audience who doesn't understand. How did he give it to you? Did he write presto, or did he put
a
metronome marking?
In his emotions, there is a certain kind of devastation in it.
A
human being who cannot hear anything physically.
Oh, yes, terrible
but who,
frustration. Yeah,
who absolutely knows from his inner what he is writing down there. Who is in struggle? Who is fighting?
Passionate.
You know. It's an enormous experience. You just have to imagine that, and then, but then you've got the most sublime result.
Yeah.
So how far can someone emotionally go? How much can someone, you know, just handle with? And this is unique.
And probably unique. And then you experience it, learning it and playing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you experience it, and it really changes you.
Now, do you feel that you have to be older to, not as a musician, but do you have to be older to understand what's going on? I mean, we have to talk as experts, but emotionally, you have to.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, I will for sure have different views on certain things when I get older. But, you know, very funny just to mention that is look how incredibly physically demanding a piece like the 106 is. Now, to be honest with you, with a few exceptions, I don't know any older pianist who plays 106 physically, who can, you know.
I guess
there must be a reason for that.
We have to determine what old is, I guess, first.
Yeah, exactly. You see, it's incredibly fast. It's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly, it's lots of tones, lots of music. I know maybe Andras Schiff, who is unique in that, but then there are not many others.
Right.
No, I don't think you have to be an old man to play them. But I for sure, it, you know, the age and your experience change,
and your physical condition as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So you now this is it's a debut album for you. I mean, you really you started at the top with this. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's my first record. That was quite exciting, I can tell you.
So now you have to live up to this consistently. Is that right?
So do I. So I do. And so I try my best.
Now,
this
is Beethoven, of course. You know, he was a great guy. I mean, there's a lot to work with there. But do you have any ideas to what, you know, direction you're going to be going in once you... I'm sure you're going to be doing other recordings now.
I have... it will be soon, at least the information what it's going to be will be released soon, but I'll keep it as my secret until you know. But you can so much I can say that the next thing and everything is
planned,
having been recorded with the very same, not maybe even greater intensity that, like the first record. So I'm very excited and very much looking forward.
Do you promise to send us a copy here at WRTI?
I promise to send you at least one.
Well, we have a copy of the Beethoven already. So now, I mean, as I say, it's really quite profound and terribly moving. And again, pianistically, you're at the top of your game. Of course, you've won several prizes through the years, and I guess that's kind of a given. But are you going to be giving recitals or perhaps performing with orchestras in the near future in the United States or perhaps abroad?
I will be in the United States next year, again, in San Francisco and in Cincinnati and in Washington. So, you know, but...
you missed Philadelphia now. You've got to come here.
Well, I hope, and the Philadelphia Orchestra is such a unique group of musicians, and I had the chance to listen to them quite often in Germany, where I live.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, this is something I would be extremely fulfilled and happy to come. Sure, we'll make that possible.
Well, I hope so. And again, so you have your new album will be released when? Well, after this?
I think in the fall.
The fall.
Yeah.
and you're going to keep us in suspense, right?
Exactly.
Well, good luck to you. A pleasure speaking with you. I look forward to the future with you.
And so do I.
And more profound insights because, again, you cheated with Beethoven because he's so profound and there's so much to say about him. But you got the message and the album is absolutely exquisite.
Thank you very, very much.
A pleasure speaking with you, Igor.
All the very best. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here now, Igor Levit performing Beethoven's Piano Sonata No. 32 in C minor.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.